Hello, everyone, and welcome to another ArtPod episode. This is a three-part series of Kuvan Kevät artists. Kuvan Kevät is a yearly thesis exhibition in Art University, and we are introducing six interesting, soon-to-be graduating students. And we are doing this in collaboration with the Art University. This year, there's over 50 artists. The curator was the teacher of art and technology, Tuomo Rainio, whom I've had personally. He's taught me also, and I have nothing but the best to say about him.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And so, enough about this framework. I want to introduce my guests, and you can do it yourselves.
Well, hi, my name is Prisni Nikoski. I'm currently a master's student at KUVA at Sculpture Department, and I'm here together with
Julia Sejestia. I'm a printmaking student, and yeah, I'm very excited to be here.
Good to have you both here, and nice to meet you both. You could maybe tell in just like few words about your background and how you ended up where you are currently.
Well, I'm actually I've done already degree in fashion design. I studied in Belgium, in Antwerp, and I also worked in the industry, but I find I was always kind of more interested in textiles and also like researching in general all these like material cultures and going more in depth. Why is it that we make things? And I think when I was working in the industry, I was finding that I was constantly kind of daydreaming about like making my own art and reading and writing. And then I think for me, I think I did like a decision. Well, I was selected to this like quite known like fashion competition in France as one of the finalists. And then I went through the whole competition and it was a great experience. But I think in that point I got this feeling like, okay, this is like I've seen it now, and now it's time to move forward. So I decided to apply to KUVA for sculpture because I thought that it would be an interesting department to kind of explore textiles more in this like spatial and structural dimensions, and more maybe also like a conceptual point of view. And I did that and I got in, and since then I've been enjoying it a lot, and it's been very surprising, actually.
So you started from bachelor?
I started from master's. Oh, okay. I came as an external master.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it hasn't been that long in KUVA then for you?
No, it's been like 1.5 years.
Okay.
Yeah, same for me. I started as a master's student in January last year as well. And I have a background in graphic design and illustration. I studied at Glasgow School of Art. And I graduated in 2019 and kind of tried to navigate the design world, but also have been working in letterpress printing, which is for me kind of like a bridge between graphic design and fine art printmaking. And I eventually ended up in a letterpress museum, Taipa, in Tartu, Estonia. And I came to visit a friend in Helsinki and decided that maybe I should apply to study at KUVA. So yeah, I moved straight from Estonia to Helsinki.
I would like to maybe ask a bit more directly that if you go back to when you started KUVA, compared to now, how do you think you've evolved? And or has your own work changed during the school?
For me, I would say that I still, my primary interest is still in typography and letterpress printing, so it's still very much linked to my design background. But one of the reasons why I decided to do a master's was to get kind of more practical experience and not only have the time and facilities to work on my own projects, but also to learn from other people. So I think that has definitely been kind of a factor that has pushed my work into new directions, and I feel like I'm a better printmaker now than I was a year ago. Yeah, and I think conceptually as well, just having over a year to think and read and discuss topics that you're interested in kind of pushes you forward.
Well, it's quite interesting that, like, when I started at Kuva, I really wanted to kind of do something so, like, quite different from what I've done before, and like kind of exit the body and go more to the space. And but then I think it's interesting that now I've kind of come back to the body still. It's much present in my work, but I've indeed like connected it more to space. But also like I've been interested in like sonic arts for quite a long time. And actually, originally, when I was when I graduated from high school a while ago, I was considering studying sound studies. That was really like a big passion for me when I was younger. But I think I was a bit scared, and also like I think the field was very different back then. So I did my decision to go to fashion as like a more like a practical thing that would combine like these mathematics and like fabrics and like visuality arts. Like you learn quite broadly about things. But then now at Kuva, like I think the sound has come back, but as like instead of thinking about it as like music or kind of sound design, it has become kind of a material for me. And a lot of things that I've been studying before with like textiles and like craftsmanship are applicable in sound and like sonic materialities. So I think that's something which I find that Kuva has been evolving me in that sense, that like suddenly all my interests kind of come together in my artistic practice, whereas before like the sound and like music or these things were kind of outside. It was kind of like I was keeping it alongside my other things, like as a hobby or like a side project, but now it's just like incorporated and it just makes so much sense.
Maybe you can tell me about your individual works a little bit, like what you're planned to present in Kuvangevat.
Sure. So, like I said, I work across printmaking, book arts and graphic design, and letterpress specifically has been a big interest of mine. And in Kuvangevat, I'll be presenting work that looks at specifically 19th century ornamented type and kind of the history behind it during the rise of industrialization. And I guess my specific interest has been in the idea of ornament in general in within typography, and that kind of led me to explore different paths, one of them being imaginary languages and alphabets. So the work that I'm going to be presenting is basically kind of an assemblage of different mediums, whether that's drawing, printmaking, or sculpture. And I have made 26 characters that are completely imaginary, and a friend of mine worded it really well, where she said that my project looks at, kind of takes a step back from typography as a carrier of messages and
meanings?
Yeah, and meanings, but rather looking at typography as the visual and aesthetic form in itself, and also the idea of remystifying type. So yeah, that's what I'll be presenting. I don't know if I explained it very well, but
well, I can pull a string. Do you think language is important to you otherwise, like in terms of your practice, like approaching language from different angles, or is it more like the visual?
I think I'm more interested in the visual aspect, and I think that's what has drawn me to the idea of ornament, because that really allowed me to look at the visual form of alphabets rather than kind of the next layer to it, which is language and communication.
Well, I've been interested in this like concept of risks and the workmanship of risk, which was, it's a theory introduced by David Pye, this like British sculptor and theorist, and it talks about how these risks that happen with when you're working with like handheld tools create like these expressive frictions and traces on like material. So that's something I've been very much interested, is this like relationship with the body, the maker and the tool, and then transferring a certain type of emotion or knowledge or message into a material. But then now I've kind of like extended that, and since I was talking already before, kind of bringing the sonic, so the sound, and then also working with a digital system. So since October, I started learning programming in MaxMSP. It's this graphical programming environment where you can kind of process data, but you can also do like sound synthesis. So you can really create your own instruments or own systems of making sound or processing sound. And from there, I got to this like idea of like, what if I would build my own kind of apparatuses to send the data to the system? So I was thinking about like wearable electronics, and I was thinking of like critically kind of examining like what kind of form these days is like audio technologies, or in general like our computers and devices that we have, that we encounter in our daily life, like what kind of material they are. And I came across this project from this artist called Irene Posh, and she had this project where she had embroidered a computer that was programmable. And from there, I really like delved into the whole big world of e-textiles, and like the whole idea that you can actually use these like yarns that conduct electricity to build your like soft devices and soft apparatuses. And so I've built this sensor bodies. So it's like wearable textile bodies with 6 sensors that detect my movement, but not necessarily the movement, but more how I resist the garment. So when I move, how, because the garment is quite like, how do you say, stiff and restrictive, but those parts where the sensors are, which are crocheted, it releases a little bit, or like has like a release. So when I move, it detects the how my body is like trying to get out of this device, and that data is sent to the computer and processed into an audio reaction. I've been experimenting a little bit with like machine learning and like this gesture recognition. I'm still not quite sure if I will fully use that, but I'm trying to like build a system that is like based on logic, and then I want to like have my body as this kind of risk element inside that controlled, structured system. And then as a output, because what interests me is also this like feedback loop, so it's not just that I'm sending these control messages to the device and it's like reacting to that, but I also wanted to have an output that was like had more like agency and materiality and differences, so it wouldn't be just a regular speaker that you buy from the shop. So I decided to like make these textile speakers, which are hand embroidered. So I studied how basically in from the start how to like build a speaker. So you have like a magnet and a coil. And then I experimented with the knowledge that I was able to find from internet. And I created these like speakers that are basically like you can listen to them from both sides, and they are like handmade, and so 8 of these speakers in the space, and then I will perform together the setting, but I will also have it as an interactive installation for the visitors.
Then maybe we can talk a little bit about the future. So, do you have any expectations, or are you just focused now in the current situation, or have you given any thought to like what happens after graduation?
Mm.
Any hopes, dreams?
Yeah. I will probably sound horrible now, but I dream of PhD. But I don't see it's like realistic. Maybe it could be possible directly after master's, but I don't know if it's like also like a wise move to do. Maybe it would be good to take like a couple of years and try out things a bit like independently, and yeah, give yourself a bit time to like formulate like what is the thing that you want to like full on focus on for like those minimum 4 years. Who knows, like might get extended. But for me, definitely, like I see my practice way more as like a research practice than full-on artistic practice. So I'm interested in artistic research, but I'm also interested in like more academic research, and then maybe to combine that more into like this practice-led thing. So I think for me, like, I mean, we're graduating only in December, I think, and then I will start scanning a bit around where could be some interesting programs, and I'm interested maybe in doing this kind of studies in Finland, but I'm also like looking outside from Finland. And yeah, I mean, I've always been kind of this making like these 5-year plans in my mind, and in some point I realized that maybe it's not the best way, because it's nice to like also have this like agency and like see what comes around, and like, because otherwise you feel like sometimes you might be closing some doors just by because you have this like very focused plan in front of you. So maybe I'll be a doctorate, or maybe I will not be a doctorate. You never know.
Yeah, opportunity often presents itself, so you kind of have to grab it or let it go by. So, and then that can lead you to a completely different place where you couldn't even like see yourself in before. So
yes, and that's exciting. Mm-hmm, I think when it's something that's very surprising to yourself, it's really exciting.
Yeah, I think I'm going to see what happens. When I graduated from my undergraduate degree, I had a clear plan of like wanting to work in a graphic design studio, and then the pandemic hit half a year later, so this time around I'm not making any clear plans and just seeing what opportunities present themselves. I think I'm also trying to decide whether I want to stay in Helsinki or move elsewhere. And I guess something that I've come to realize is important to me is working with people. So I think ideally I would want to have a part-time job, for example, working as a technician in a print studio, and then having my own practice alongside it. So no concrete plans, but kind of ideas of what I'm drawn towards.
Do you think the like kind of certificate of like professional artist will affect you in any way? Kind of weird question. I'm interested.
I feel like in Finland, from what I've heard, it is quite beneficial to have a degree from KOVA, and especially a master's degree. But I don't think that is the case in the UK, for example. I feel like most people go into the art or design world with just an undergraduate degree. And maybe a master's is something that you do if you want to then do a PhD and kind of go deeper into academic research. So I'm not sure how relevant it's going to be for me, but I do feel like my work is better because I have done a master's. So yeah, it's kind of hard to tell.
Do you have any like, there's a question here, like, what are you most afraid of? What kind of obstacles are there on the way? But I don't know, I feel that's a bit of a downer question.
No, I think it's a good question to talk about. I mean, like, I think for me, maybe the thing that I'm most afraid of is like, that it would be difficult to find the balance like in the work, because I think I've been thinking a lot about that if art, making art, should be like my main income, or if I should have something that is like giving me the living income, and then art is just something I do on the side, or that the, like, if I would have another profession that supports me, how would that also support my artistic process? And yeah, just like, I'm maybe afraid of like getting too commercialized in art, since I'm kind of trying to escape the industrial kind of way of working. So but also a little bit afraid of like, like what kind of possibilities there are, because it's just not always so direct and easy to navigate in the field. But I like to be positive about it still.
I was just saying that it's like playing 5D chess in the dark.
Yeah.
Like, there's rules, but What are they?
Yeah, I think I'm afraid maybe of periods where nothing happens and how to keep going during those periods, and like a cliche obviously being money as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess doing another degree kind of allowed me to do whatever I want, but then I don't know, I guess when you graduate you kind of have to think about where it is that you actually position yourself and how you can do what you want to do while also making a living. So I think that's something that I'm afraid of, that maybe I'll finish the master's and it'll be kind of a struggle to figure that out.
Yeah, for me also, like, one thing is like what the school has been bringing now is like the community, and also like these spaces where you meet people and these situations where you meet people, also like from like unexpected places or in that way. And then what I'm maybe worried about, because I quite enjoy to be by myself, I enjoy like having my own projects and being at home, and like I'm never bored. I always have like hundreds of different projects happening, but then I'm like very consumed with them, and I suddenly notice that I'm not actually seeing and engaging as much as I would like with people. And then also where to find these people after, because I feel like, yeah, like maybe then a shared studio, but then it's also kind of like a tiny bubble. So for me it's been so nice to be in this like bigger bubbles, because it's like easier to navigate and find people. But yeah, that's maybe like a worry that I have, like how to create this like playground outside the school.
I cannot relate on meeting people at school, because I was doing my master's during COVID. So, But I'm glad that you like it has become this place where like you can, because I think that's a very crucial point, like the kind of communal learning, or kind of lateral learning almost, also that kind of or vertaisoppiminen in Finnish, but I can't really think of the exact word now. But like that you. Okay, you learn one thing from this, like workshops and your teachers and the kind of structures of the institution, but in equal amounts you learn from each other and you kind of facilitate each other. So you are now in the final throes of this process. So how are you kind of general feeling? Like, are you relaxed, calm, excited? Exhausted.
I'm surprisingly not stressed. I think I keep comparing myself to my final year during my undergraduate, and I was in the studio for like 3 months, from 8 o'clock in the morning until like 10 at night with my friends, working so much. And I think what's changed is maybe how much emphasis I think I put on degree shows in general, that I've come to realize that maybe they're not as important as I used to think they were. But yeah, I think I definitely have a better work and life balance, and I try to do things, even though it is a really busy period right now, I want to make an active decision to like not come in during the weekends and see friends and do other things. And yeah, and I do still manage to get everything done. Sometimes I think maybe when you know you have a lot of time, you end up wasting quite a lot of it. So yeah.
Yeah, for me it was like, I think I was stressed like 1 month ago, but like now I'm quite okay. I'm kind of predicting there might be stress in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think
install. Yeah, it's and also for me, because I work with sound and acoustics in my project, I think it will kind of come alive only in the space, and there will be a lot of coding happening in those 2 last weeks, because there will be a lot to adjust and to see how it works. It's hard to mock up these kind of things in like a totally different space, like my studio or other project rooms in the building. So then I'm kind of like preparing myself by being relaxed now, and then in 2 weeks
yeah, there's some energy now.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's been quite fine, but I have to say that I have had the opposite, that I think I've been working since last autumn almost every day at the school. Sometimes from 9 to 9, sometimes having the evening off, but I tend to come in most of the days, and so that you can also work in this way, that it's more relaxed rather than like super efficient manufacturing.
Yeah, I guess it's so individual, yeah, as well, that some people enjoy being in the studio and, like, I don't know, watching YouTube or watching TV series because they just like doing that. Whereas for me, it works better to kind of have my work mode on, yeah, at the school, and then I go home to do the other things. But it is super individual.
I think it really helps when you determine spaces.
Yeah.
That, okay, this space is for work. This space is for relaxing. This space is for admin, or I don't know. Like, it already, preps your body. So I think you get to the focus and motivation better.
Yeah, yeah. I do no work at home because I just want that to be the place where, like, I chill, so it's been really nice not associating being at home with having to do anything else.
Yeah, that's really healthy.
I started to leave my laptop to my studio, like, I think a couple of months ago already, in the evenings, because I get tempted yeah, when I'm at home to start to open my code. And then, like, I had a couple of times that I was just, I don't know, like, just starting to work on something, and then it's like, so it just like sucks you in, and then I'm like looking at the clock and I'm like, oh gosh, it's like 3 o'clock in the night, like, what am I doing? This is not me. So that's why I had to kind of like put the line and like leave the laptop in the studio, because it, in a way, it is also my studio there. So I was just like, yeah, let's lock it in the cabin.
But yeah, I think all of those practices are super healthy, because burning out as an artist, well, in many other fields, but I think especially because you're trying to do so many things, you're wearing so many different hats, sometimes at the same time. So like, having these tools, it's like super healthy to have like a sustainable working practice. So good that you've kind of been able to do that already with this. Also, because maybe like also stress kind of can hop onto you. Like, you cannot, sometimes you're just affected by other people's mood. So, but it's good that you've kind of you could have maintained kind of your flow and process.
That's one of the reasons why I'm glad I had a break between doing my first degree and this master's, is that I think I managed to kind of find a flow that suits me, and also know that I can be a creative in the real world, and then this master's doesn't feel as essential as I think maybe my previous degree did. And it just, yeah, makes me more relaxed to be doing it, basically.
Yeah, I agree that between bachelor and master's, it's really healthy to have a little bit of time that you're on the field, and kind of, because I think in school you also forget what you like slightly.
Yeah.
And then you kind of come out of it and you're like, oh, I like this. Like, why did I stop doing this? And you kind of like reintroduce some things, and then you go to master's, you can kind of incorporate and kind of go into a new direction also. So
yeah, you don't have like the pressure of like the structure or schedule of school in those like breaks and gap years, so you can kind of let the things really organically come to you. And like we have this word in Finnish, like fiilistellä, like feel things, or like, I don't know, like have this like very, yeah, get this like unforced spark for things. And yeah. I think that
joy.
Comes, yeah, yeah, joy, and that comes from like having some boredom and having some time and having like this like feel of freedom to choose to be interested and to feel excited to make something. So
intrinsic motivation.
Yeah, because I also think that you kind of get loss of meaning if you just like, you just do a task, you do a task, do a task. And it's like, why am I doing this task? Like, you need a sense of purpose in order to, I don't know, live. So it's, yeah, also how to incorporate that in your artistic practice. Like, okay, well, I'm not just like an automaton, like doing tasks, but there's a purpose behind each thing. And it's like, I don't know, going in a certain direction, that it's not static. And not just maintenance, you know. I'm just doing the task to maintain, but it's actually evolving. Because I think you both maybe agree that as an artist you need to kind of evolve constantly, kind of that you cannot stay in a static place, because I think you're both kind of interested in kind of combining things and letting them grow also.
Yeah, life changes, also technology changes, we change. And I think making art always in this like static still way is like, it's not sustainable. I mean, I hate, like, it's not about like staying relevant, but it's more about like, yeah, evolving and like living together with the work in a way.
Do you have anything particular that you would like to add, maybe, that we haven't touched upon? You're feeling good, you're focused, you're relaxed, you're ready.
Ready.
Well, that's good to hear. Yeah, so thank you everyone for listening. I am really inspired. I'm really intrigued. I'm looking forward to the opening and to the exhibition. Yeah, so this was the second episode, and there's a third episode also coming with two other artists. I am Anna Matveinen. It has been a pleasure. Goodbye.